Как-то сильно это. Где помещен сектор 16 Шмольберг? ודוד עבר מעט מהראש. The simple explanation is that David passed a little bit further. In Harosh, if you remember last week, we explained, Chachamim explained two explanations. Either this was the Olive Mountain, across from the place they're going to build the Tamigdash, or this was the place David HaMelech had in mind, not exactly, really, truthfully, but he had in mind to worship Avodah Zarah. And this was in order for Am Yisrael not to blame, if we may say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this rebellion son that he has. It must be that I did something wrong and David did not want to think about anything else, that he did wrong and he thought maybe if he will bow down to a statue and then everybody says, ah, good for him. This is why his son wants to kill him, because he committed the sin. That's another explanation. But what explanation means that he passed that spot, or passed that situation, what he wanted to do, v'nit siva nam et boshet dikato. I said, siva, this is the helper, the goy helper that used to help Mephiboshet. Mephiboshet was the son of Yonatan. And siva is his slave, and he goes in front of him. Yatzemet chamarim chamushim, he has a few donkeys in front of him, already to be able to use them, v'alei matayim lechem, 200 loaves of bread, v'mea timukim, 100 bags of raisins, v'mea kait, 100 packages of figs, v'nevel yain, like a barrel of wine, a pitcher of wine. Yevna melech el tiva, ma'i lelach, the king asked tiva, what is this? What is it for? This is the donkeys are brought for the king's family, Lirkov, in order to ride them. Because the king is running away with nothing. So Tiva said he brought some donkeys for the king in order for the king's family to ride. It's too hard for them to walk. They also brought some bread, and the wine is whoever is going to be thirsty. I brought you some food, plus the donkeys. He refers to Mephiboshet. He says, where is your master? Where is the Yonatan son? He's still in Yerushalayim. He lives in Yerushalayim now. Ki amar, he said to himself, Hayom yashivu libet Yisrael mamlechut avi. He says, now because of the queue, this rebel, that his rebellion against the Avshalom is against David HaMelech, eventually, this is what's going to happen, eventually he says he's going to become the king. Of course it was a lie, but then David HaMelech accepted. David HaMelech accepted it's the Lashon Hara. V'yemer HaMelech L'tziva, this is chapter 16. No, you have the wrong book, no? Yeah. No, I'm sorry. So the king, David HaMelech, at that moment said, forget about it. If that's what your master is all about, it is against me. I am, as the king, I have the right to take away whatever anybody owns. The Gemara learned it from a pasuk. But the king has a tremendous power. This is based on the Psukim of Shmuel HaNavi said, that the king can do whatever he wants. So he tells Tziva, whatever you own, your master owns, it will be yours. Since he is against me, and you're very nice to me, and you're bringing me the donkeys and the food, everything that he owns, mainly was some real estate, and some houses that he owns, he says, everything belongs to you. Tziva, So he said, thank you very much, and he got it. He was talking all the night. Okay, I don't know, it's a regular story in the V. I don't know what's the meaning of the purpose of the story. I mean, maybe later something. Remember, we mentioned something's going to happen later, this to blame David HaMelech. והמלך דוד על בחורים, והנה משם איש יוצא משפחת בית שאול לשמו איש שימי מגירה יוצא יצא בתום מקלב. The Melech arrived and praised כל בחורים, that's a simple explanation. And in front of him he sees a person. The person from the family of Shaul HaMelech comes outside. והנה איש שימי מגירה, and he is coming outside, and מקלב is cursing, or another explanation is making the weed look like very cheap. In the word Kal, maybe. Machloket in the Rishonim, what it means. And not only that, he throws stones on David HaMelech. They call up the HaMelech David. Can you imagine one person, David HaMelech is there with 600 people, some soldiers, one guy coming out, and he is stoning David HaMelech. Everybody is next to David HaMelech, and he is... And he's not afraid, he's cursing and he's throwing stones. What is he saying? That's what he said when he curses, when he said, when he made David Melech embarrassed, he said, go, it's good for you, get out of here. You are the murderer, and you are the bad person. Shiva Lecha Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave back to you, paid you back, called me Bet Shaul. Hashem Lecha Hashem, whatever you did, to Shaul HaMelech's family, whatever you did to them, the bad things you did to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid you back, now go out, it's very good what his son is rebel against you. Good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it in the hands of your son. It's good for you that you're suffering, you're a very bad person. You deserve death, good for you.
He must have had... bodyguards or whatever, like if somebody attacks the president,
right. They kill him. Right, right. He had it. Yeah, that's what the Navi said.
But they didn't.
Amazing. No, they will. In a minute.
Okay.
The next sentence. Yeah. That's amazing. It's amazing that a guy stands up. I mean, again, David HaMelech is now in exile. He's running. But still, one guy goes outside and stones him and throws on him things. And says this bad statement, good for you. He's not even scared.
You know money.
Huh? You know money? Yes and no, we'll see in a minute. It's not so simple.
Do you know?
Not that I know, but maybe I don't know. He was Shlomo HaMelech's rabbi. But I don't think he was there for some reason. He was doing God to me. So again, the same explanation is he's from the family of Shaul HaMelech. That's what the Navi describes him. Shimi ben Gera, that is a relative of Shaul. And since, that's what the Chachamim say, the Midrash says, all the Chachamim say, since the Ishboshet already was killed once, and he's blaming David HaMelech for the death of Shaul HaMelech. How does he blame him for that? Shaul HaMelech died, Gemara said, because he killed Novira Kohanim. Because he killed the Kohanim. Why he killed the Kohanim? The Kohanim, because the Achimelech, the head of the Kohanim, gave David HaMelech a piece of bread. And while David HaMelech was running away from Shaul HaMelech. And now, the Shaul HaMelech sent some people, and he himself came by, and said, why did you give my enemy a piece of bread? And then he killed the whole city. So eventually, all the Kohanim died because David HaMelech got a piece of bread from the Kohanim. And because Shaul HaMelech killed all the Kohanim, therefore Shaul HaMelech is going to be killed. So eventually, when Shaul HaMelech was killed, it was to blame David HaMelech, because if you wouldn't have come to Nov, they wouldn't have given you bread. If they wouldn't have given you bread, you wouldn't have killed them. If you wouldn't have killed them, you won't kill. Gemara said the reason why Shaul HaMelech was killed is because he killed the Kohanim. Again, he killed the Kohanim because they gave bread to David HaMelech. It means blame David for this. That's really what he's saying. He's saying, you're responsible. First of all, you're responsible for Jonathan's son, Ishboshet, and also he responsible directly for the death of Yonatan himself and Shaul, and Shaul's other children, and says, you are the murderer. Good for you that Absalom is going to fight you. It isn't true that, but the Chachamim said that he blamed him, that in chapter 4, we skipped it, I just couldn't learn it. That he zested the fights between the army and the majors, all these people that hate each other. And among those stories, that Avner was killed, and Ishbosheth was killed, and then this guy Shimi is blaming them for everything. Now Mishai ben Tzuria Lamelech, Pame Kalila Kelev Amet Azeh, Mishai ben Tzuria, this is David HaMelech's nephew. Tzuria was David HaMelech's sister. So Mishai, the son of Tzuria, David HaMelech was walking with David HaMelech. He tells the king, Lame Kalila Kelev Amet Azeh, Tzuri HaMelech, says, why this doggy is cursing? Again a doggy, why is the doggy? Why is this guy the doggy?
Dead dog.
Huh? Yes, dead doggy. What dead dog means? How a dead dog can curse? What kind of language is this? It's a dead dog. This guy's a dead dog. He's not a dead dog, he's alive. You can say a dog, a dead dog. I don't think they have no answer for that. They're calling him a dog. Why is he called? Don't call him a dog. He says, he has a name. His name is Shimi. He says, but why is he kept? Why is describing him as a dog? Why is this dog is cursing the king? Let me go and chop his head off. Chachamim said that it means. It means the king, when the king kills, that's the way the king has the right to kill. The king has the right to come to your house without any excuse and to take a sword and take off your head. That's the power of the king. And that's why Mishai is telling David HaMelech, why did you let this guy to do it? Let me go and just chop his head off. And HaMelech, Mali V'lachim Yisrael, says, what do you want? He doesn't understand what's going on. Ki kalel ki Hashem amaru kalel. It says, this guy is cursing. Maybe Hashem told him to curse. Hashem amar lo kalel ki amar Hashem, ki Hashem amar lo kalel David. Umi omar madua asit asin. I says, who said you have to kill him? This is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to curse me. It's amazing, I mean, everything like this, you know. You wake up in the middle of the night and there's a thief in the house. He says, don't call the police. It's from Hashem. Police from Hashem. The man is a thief. You have to call the police, lock him in. So David HaMelech is the king. If he's not the king, he has no reason to say anything. But let's assume he thinks he's a king. He can't. Yeah. And he can't do it. See, if he says he forgives him is one thing. But he cannot forgive him. But let's assume he could forgive. He doesn't say that. He says that Hashem said it. So somebody standing on the street is cursing you. And he's stoning you with stones. And he says, welcome the stones, welcome the curses. Hashem told it. So you can erase the whole Torah. Every time he says somebody does something bad. He kills. He says, oh yeah, somebody killed you. Take him, we didn't take him. And they kill him. He says, don't kill him. If you kill somebody, Hashem told him to kill. What do you mean? Somebody is stoning a person, an innocent person. And he's the king, so he's the king. Don't answer this. Hashem told him. What do you mean Hashem told him? The guy is committing a sin, not Hashem told him. Alright. Yes. Tashlomo, because he said, I promise not to do it to him.
Right.
But he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that.
I don't
know. God said that he told Shlomo to kill him because now already Shimi had children already, now Mordechai will come out. If David would have killed him at that day, then we wouldn't have Mordechai a Yehudi. This is what the Midrash says. But that's not what he says. The question is, what kind of an answer is this? And he says, Hashem told him to do it. What did Hashem told him to do it? He's doing something wrong. I can say, I don't want to kill him. I have a reason. But the Midrash says, I don't kill him yet because Mordechai is not Mordechai's great-grandfather wasn't born yet. It doesn't say that. It says, Hashem, tell him an answer to this. So can you imagine? This is my son. That's my son. He is trying to kill me. See, there's another guy. Says, he's Ben Emini, he's from Shaul HaMelech, from Binyamin. Anichulo. Leave him alone. Be kalel. Ki amar Hashem. Ki amar lo Hashem. Hashem told him to curse. What kind of business is this? Somebody standing on the street and cursing you, you let him curse you. So Hashem told him. Ulai yireh Hashem ve'ini yeshiv Hashem mitovat az kilelato ayom hazeh. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to see that I suffer so much, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay me back and going to award me instead of his cursing. That's this. Yeah, Hashem, I know that he's doing something wrong because this is why Absalom is trying to kill him. He said, maybe if I'll be quiet and Hashem will see that I'm very quiet, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay me back. That's the big chilul Hashem. I mean, if he is a king, he's not allowed to forgive him. If he's not a king, then that's not the answer. You can't say somebody commits a sin and he says Hashem told him to do it. You're not allowed to curse anybody and you're not allowed to stone anybody. If you have a problem with somebody, then you call him to bedin. But you can, if you have something against somebody on the street, you cannot stone him and stand on the street and curse him.
Especially not the king.
Especially not the king. Right. Yeah. It's a major problem. So you're going to hear. So they continue walking. So they're walking on the way, but he continues walking on the other side, of the mountain, and he's cursing. First he throws stones, but the stones probably don't reach. So he was thinking, maybe they don't hear him, they don't see anything. So he makes some dust. So he's taking some sand, some soil, some earth, throws it into the air, and then it becomes like a cloud of dust. In order for David HaMelech to see that somebody is on the other side of the mountain is fighting with him. So they got to the place around Bahurim. There's no information where did he go. And they're very tired and they're resting up now. Avshalom arrived in Yerushalayim now. He was in Hebron, and now he's coming to Yerushalayim. Achitophel is with him, and they're going to announce he's being the new king of Amisrael. Then, if you remember, Hushai Aki, this is one of David HaMelech's friends that arrived to join David HaMelech. David HaMelech sent him to Yerushalayim, told him, you go over there in Yerushalayim, and you're going to be on my side, and you're going to try to help me over there. So the story is that he arrived in Yerushalayim, v'yemelech Hushai Rav Shalom, Yichi HaMelech, Yichi HaMelech. And he called him the king. Yichi HaMelech, Yichi HaMelech, he says, you are the king. V'yemelech Rav Shalom, Hushai, Zdecha, Zdechat Re'echa. He says, that's your kindness to your friend. It means it refers to his father, to David HaMelech. Zdechat Re'echa, why don't you go with your friend? You shouldn't be here. Everybody knows that you are the friend of David HaMelech. What are you doing here? And why are you calling me the king? You're supposed to go with your friend. And Moshe Rab Shalom, lo. Sender 15 says, no. Ki asher bachar Hashem ve'am hazeh v'chol ish Yisrael lo heye v'ito Hashem. He says, it's true. I was your father's friend. But now I see that the nation and HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you. So you are the one that I'm going to be with him. Hashini, the second answer I have for you, Lemi ani avod, alo lifnivno. I said, what do you think? I'm not doing something bad to anyone. It says, you are the son. So, if you are the son, I felt that you are now entitled to be the king, and I'm working for the son of my friend. It's the same thing. I was your father's friend, I'll be your friend. And then he asked, whatever you do. So now he says like this. It's too early, but it's too much to say, so I don't want to go home tonight. Now he says like this. And this is Parsha Zayichi, Yaakovin, before he dies, he calls up the Shvatim. He calls up the Shvatim, and he tells each one something. To Yehuda, he says, Lo yasu shevet Yehuda o mechokot mi ben raglav. Ad ki yavo shilo v'lo yikat hamim. As it's until Mashiach will come, guarantee? Sounds that. You're right. Some people say it's not a guarantee. Some people say that it was like a prayer. But sounds like most of the Chachamim say the two things Yaakov Avinu said. Yaakov Avinu said, first of all, the kingdom will start from Yehuda. There will be no kingdom from any other tribe. Plus, not only that, the big judges, the big judges will come from Yehuda as well. And this is one of the things that Ariel says. And we have the four psukim in the blessing of Yehuda. The first it says, Yehuda, Ata Yuducha Achecha. So Ata is with Aleph. The second psuk starts, Gur Aryeh Yehuda, with the Gimel. The third psuk starts with the Lamed, Lo Yasu Shevet Mi Yehuda. And the last psuk is, Osri LaGefen Yiro. So this is the letters Aleph, Gimel, Lamed, and Aleph. This is the name of bringing the kingdom to Am Yisrael. This is Atah Gibor Olam Hashem, and if you do, if you see, this is Atah Gibor Olam Hashem, Atah, the first letter is Aleph, Gibor, the first letter is Gimel, Olam is Lamed, Hashem, it says in the Siddur, Aleph, Zalad, and the Nyut. This is Aleph, Gimel, Lamed, and Aleph. It's a special name. That name contains the power of kingdom. This is Ata Gibor Olam Hashem, when they talk for people in 18. It says, you are Kadosh Baruch Hu, you the strongest, you the greatest. So I'm checking this one out, and they made a Siddur. They made it in a way that you have this Kavanah. It says in Siddur, you have to have the Kavanah. When you say Ata Gibor Olam Hashem, you should have Kavanah, those four letters. Aleph, Gimel, Lamed, and Aleph. You find in the Siddur, it says Ata Gibor Olam Hashem, it says in promises. It says, you have to have this in, to visualize it. It says, that's the name of the kingdom. Let's know the king. It goes further, But it's one of the names that the kingdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will arrive. And that, Ari says, this is being hinted in the bracha that Yaakov gives Yehuda, that they have four sentences. And the first sentence, you have the letter Aleph, Atay Yeducha Achecha, the first letter of Atay is Aleph, the second sentence is Gura Yehuda, the first sentence is Gimel, the next sentence is Loya Sushil Midah is Lamed, and the fourth sentence is Osri Lagev. So again, so most of the Chachamim, they say that this was not just a blessing of Yaakov, this was a promise. Whatever Yaakov said was a promise. The Gemara takes it very seriously, the way Yaakov also told each tribe exactly what he's going to get in Eretz Israel as well. And this was really that we know that Yehuda got the kingdom of the Melech comes from Yehuda. Oh, Chachamim, excuse me. But you know, the first king was Shaul HaMelech. The Rambam, all the Rishonim ask the same question. And it's how is it possible that Yaakov Avinu gave this kind of a promise, because they take it as a promise, that the kingdom belongs to Yehuda, so you cannot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course you could, but you cannot just say, you know, the first king is Shaul. Shaul is from Binyamin. Shaul is not from Yehuda. So the Rambam, is right to say certain things. One of the answers they give is that Shaul, if he would be a very good king, he would be the king on Binyamin. But Yehuda would be the king on the rest of the tribes. Something like we find later that Yerovam was a king on 10 tribes and Rahamam was on 2 tribes. So, himself, took Yerovam, that he was from Yosef's side, and made him a king on 10 tribes. This was the 10 Shvatim, and the Rehavam, Tzion Shlomo, was a king on 2. So the Ramban says this is maybe what it means. By Yehuda, always you can have a kingdom, but not necessarily to be the sole king of Am Yisrael. That's one of the answers. Here, when you read the Navi, so after Shaul was appointed to become a king, and all of a sudden Shaul is not doing so well, and then David comes into the picture, and Shaul is running after him, he's trying to do things to him, and then David constantly is not doing anything to him. He had the right, maybe, to save himself, or to do something, and then David, we learn a lot of chapters, that constantly Shaul is trying, and David is sneaking out, and he doesn't know what's going on. Comes to a point, David has to run away, and since then he never saw from him again, and again, he had a treaty with Yonatan. And then, we read it, then we read Shaul HaMelech was killed, and David HaMelech is giving a speech about him. And the Gemara has some complaints, it wasn't the best speech. She just said some more, that David HaMelech is going to be punished. Well, he's going to be punished because he didn't give a such a good speech at the funeral, after the funeral. The Gemara said yes, David HaMelech should have said better things, and because of that he's going to be punished. And then Shmuel Bet comes, and then we learn that after Shmuel died, that David HaMelech was appointed to become the king of Am Yisrael, and now that he finished all his fights, he's looking to do some favors to Shaul HaMelech's grandchildren. He finds out, he wants to know, who is anybody left from Shaul HaMelech? He says, yeah, there's one guy, Mephibosheth. So he says, one guy, he calls him up, he said, you're going to be next to me. You stay over here, don't worry about it, I'll take care of you, you stay with me in the hotel, in the palace for the rest of your life. So it sounds like, Shaul HaMelech was a king, and Yonatan was a friend, personal friend of David HaMelech, and now David HaMelech wants to pay him back. And he's looking to do a favor to him, he doesn't want to fight with him, he wants to be very generous to him, and he calls him. Everything is fine, it's a regular story, life story that we know. The Gemara tells us, and this is halakha, that Beit HaMikdash, we all do know, was mostly in the territory of Binyamin. That's like the Bishmachu decided. When Tefav Shachin, and the Bishmachu wants his place to be among the tribe of Binyamin. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, the Mizbeach, the altar, a little part of the Mizbeach was in the territory of Yehuda. Yehuda and Binyamin have had a border between them. And the border went through the altar. It's amazing. But just the line, it's amazing. The line, when Yoshua made the lato, how to divide Yat Israel, when he made it, and after his life, the line, on the border line, went exactly in the center and the corner of the center, the corner of the altar. It's amazing. Sounds a little bit, okay, maybe it happened, but the Mizbeach was the most important part of the Mishneh Atzeret. In Beit HaMikdash, it's all the Korbanot. Because the Mizbeach is the most important part, the Rambam says, that you cannot build Beit HaMikdash unless you can pinpoint, exactly where is the place of the altar. And so the second Beit HaMikdash was built, they had to have 3 prophets. Haggai Zechariah Malachi to tell us exactly with a prophecy where is the place of the Mizbeach, because otherwise it's not the right place, even though you're allowed to slaughter any place, but the Mizbeach is so important that it has to be exactly on the spot, because that's the same spot that Adam HaRishon made a sacrifice, that Noah made a sacrifice, Heaven made a sacrifice, and this is the when David HaMelech is going to build it, that's the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the earth and created Adam HaRishon. Adam in Kom Kaparato Nivra. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided when Abraham Avinu came to slaughter Yitzchak, to put Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, Abraham Avinu came and he put the Mizbeach in the same place where Noah had the Mizbeach, where Cain had the Mizbeach, where Adam HaRishon. On the same spot exactly, but exactly, and it has to be exactly on the same spot. So Rambam says that's in Beit HaMikdash also. You have to know that you cannot just come to Beit HaMikdash and say this is the mountain. You build the altar. The altar has to be exactly on the same spot, exactly, not moving 2 inches away. Has to be exactly on the center, exactly on the same spot. He says why? Why? Because that's exactly the spot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took some soil and made Adam HaRishon. So therefore, that's how the korbanot, the sacrifices work, because the sacrifices work on that spot that you were created. I mean, your great-grandfather, Adam HaRishon, was created. First, mankind was created from that spot. The Mizbeach has to be on that spot exactly. This is very nice, says David. Very nice. But now, I don't understand. It's not coincidence. It says, the way Yeshua divided the Eretz Yisrael was Lato and Urim Betumim. This is the Kohen HaGadol, Elazar, Kohen HaGadol was standing by. And Yeshua asked him, no, can you tell me the borders? He said, the border goes this line over here, this line over there. It says, the line is going to go, they made the line, and the line happened to be that crossed inside the Mizbeach. It says, most of the Midrash was in the territory of Binyamin, but the Mizbeach had one corner that was in the territory of Yehudah. It says, why did this thing happen? Why did Hashem make such a thing? What's the purpose for it? So let's see Parasha. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry. 2 weeks ago, that's what Yehudah said also last week, but 2 weeks ago, when Yaakov wanted to send the brothers to get more food from Mitzrayim, and Yehudah said, we cannot go unless you're going to send Binyamin down. And says, the king over there said, don't come back unless you bring Binyamin. It's amazing. The Ramban, he writes in his commentary something, it's unbelievable. He says that if they would have enough food, Yaakov would not have sent Binyamin. Yaakov sent Binyamin because not enough food. So Ramban says, what about Shimon is in jail? Ramban says, Yaakov said, let him stay in jail. I don't need him. I didn't need Shimon. He was so upset at him that he didn't listen to him in Shem that he killed 24,000. The Ramban said, let him stay in jail forever. I don't need him. The only reason he sent Binyamin down because there was no food. That's what Ramban says. No, this is Parasha. This is Parasha. This is Parasha, it's not going to give him a blessing because of that. Same thing, he's not. But then he was up there, so he couldn't send him in jail. But Shimon is in jail. So the Salman, let him stay in jail, I don't need him. You can see what it means not to listen to your father. The Jacob doesn't need him. So anyway, Torah says, since they're out of food, so Judas was able to convince Yaakov to send Binyamin down. And he says, I guarantee him. He says, I guarantee him, I'll bring it back to you. That guarantee, says the Gemara, that guarantee, that he guaranteed him so much, this is really the, if we say, the friendship between David and Jonathan. This is really why David HaMelech constantly watching over and doesn't do anything to Shaul. So this is really what the end of 2 weeks ago when they say that they found the cup in Binyamin's bag and Judah went to Yosef and says, well, I guaranteed him. So we think that the way it says in the Torah, it means no, that Judah guaranteed Binyamin. He says no. It means the tribe of Yehuda is responsible for the tribe of Binyamin. And this is constantly after the destruction of first Beit HaMikdash, the second Beit HaMikdash, only two tribes stayed. Sanherib came and sent 10 tribes behind Sambation. It's an amazing story. Believer, yeah. Amazing story. Amazing. Sanherib was the biggest, if I may say, the biggest king ever that the world had as far as destroying the world. Right. They took all the nations and mixed them up. in order for no one to rebel against him. So he moved millions and billions of people from state to state, from country to country. The Gemara says, if you want to know today where is Ammon, where is Moab, where is Edom, where is Egypt, he says the people today, the Egyptian people in Egypt today are not the original Egyptian people. This is called Sancheriv Bilberet Kol Olam, mixed the whole world. The Shah of Iraq. In a place in Iraq today, that, no, it's called Ashur. You can find it on the map. In Iraq, this was his kingdom. It was the original first Saddam Hussein. Before Nebuchadnezzar.
Yitzhak Adol
Mikol HaOlam.
Yosef lo asa
it. Yosef, זה מה שהוא אמר. יוסף עשה את זה, יוסף עשה את זה בשביל. למה יוסף עשה את זה?
לא.
Right. Yosef did not want his brothers to feel they have a green card. So he said, everybody is going to feel has a green card. Nobody is a citizen anymore of Egypt. So Yosef moved all everybody around. But this was just in Egypt. And Kharib mixed the whole world. When he mixed the whole world, not only that, he took 10 tribes right away, and he brought them behind Sambat Yom. This is a very strong river, someplace.
Yemen?
Yemen. Talk about this one.
We spoke about a few times. What's the name who came?
Eldad.
Haram.
Eldad. 1,000 years ago, somebody arrived.
Iran, I looked them up on the internet, but they didn't.
Amazing, no?
About them, but it didn't seem, from what they said, that the Chachamim accepted it.
Oh, he had a lot of Gemara in the Rishonim for me, in the Shulchan Aruch. It was the biggest miracle.
I don't say the internet is always right.
And look in the Mordechai, Masechet Chulin, he brings a lot from him.
Shalom Kaimim, Achavar, and
the Father. Yeah, of course.
Huh? You know where that is?
Yeah. Huh? You know, upstate New York, I don't know if you ever went. You went to upstate New York, there's a place that I think it goes 50 feet down. They had a boat or something. You ever go upstate?
Or Sable Chasm?
Or Sable Chasm, yeah. You ever go over there?
What's the name of the place? Or Sable Chasm.
You know what it is? Upstate New York.
You never go
there?
Something I've heard of it. I'm going to Canada. When you go in towards...
Amazing, it's amazing. Something amazing.
It's a little bit west of the tour, if I remember correctly.
Somebody was a few hundred years ago, 100 years ago. Somebody had some cows, looked some cows sniffing over there. And he went and he saw a hole in the ground, went down, maybe 50 feet down, maybe 100 feet down. There's an elevator. Goes. I didn't go there. My wife went over there with the children. You go down a lot.
That could be a different place. I said the chasm is mostly open.
No, you go down.
Yeah, there's a, I can't think of that name. There's another one.
There's another one.
Not
the
one.
Alcaraz.
Oh, Alcaraz is it. Could you go down, and over there there's a boat.
Yeah.
With a little lake. And keep a boat over there.
All year long.
Down, all the way down, down, all the way down. It's amazing. This is exactly where the 10 tribes are. Something very similar to this under Yemen. Same exact thing. And over there is Sambat Yom. And that's Elder Dadan, he came from there. His head, he came from there. He came 1,000 years ago. A Jew came to Syria and said, I am from there. And those days, they couldn't find him. And the 10 tribes behind there, there were millions of Jews. He described the millions of Jews. The Chachamim investigated him. Asking questions, all the Chachamim, all the Rabbanim asking questions. He couldn't find a line in his word. I don't remember if it's being described what he was wearing. It was amazing that he said that we went over there before the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash already. That Sancheriv put them over there. It says in the Navi. And then they never came back to the Gemara. So we are only two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. All the rest of the tribes are behind this river. It's called Sambat Yom. Few Levim. Not the whole time. Before the destruction of the Tamidash. Some Kherim did it, you see. It's the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu was the king at the time. He was in Yerushalayim. That's the whole idea over here. That only Benjamin and Yehuda stayed. And all the 10 tribes went away. Doesn't mean Benjamin was better. It was anybody better, but it was not better. The only thing that Benjamin was saved, because Yehudah is the guarantor for Benjamin, and since Yehudah guaranteed Benjamin, that guarantee continues all the time. Mashiach Avon Mebatra. Batra, Batra. Yemen. But Lomi Lamata.
So they believe that there are still people in this place?
But it says in the Gemara, there's a river called Sambatyom. In the Shvar in the Gemara. It's not Zohar, it's Gemara. And the Zohar says also, but the Gemara. But it's based on the Navi, Menachem, that Sancherit came to Eretz Israel after he mixed up the whole world. He came to Israel, he took 10 tribes. Then he came to Yerushalayim. And he wanted to take Hizkiyahu and everybody else. Hizkiyahu prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, I have no strength to pray, I have no strength to fight him, I'm going to lie down and go to sleep. Please do the job. In the morning, the Navi says, 186,000 officers died together with all the army, talking about millions of people. The whole army of Hashem. They all died in the front of Yerushalayim. Besides Sancheriv and three children ran away. Sancheriv's helper was Nebuchadnezzar, eventually that he became the king in Babel after him. It's the same place, in Iraq, the same place. But it's not in the same city. But he was in Ashur, and he was Nebuchadnezzar was in a different city. And the 10 tribes went, and they never came back, Second Betamidash. Second Betamidash, only 42,000 people came back from Iraq and Iran. And eventually some more people came. But our Second Betamidash started with 42,000 people. This is the Nabi as well. Only two tribes, Yehuda and Benjamin, that's it. Because the Tamidash was destroyed 100 years later. But 100 years, they didn't see them anymore, even though Hezekiah continued to be the king, even though Ashur, the king of Ashur died, they couldn't go back and get the tribes back. Hashem didn't want them to come back. And again, it's behind the river, the Gemara says, and the Midrash says, the river is very, very powerful. It only stops on Shabbat. He cannot cross. This guy crossed a minute before Shabbat. He explained to Chachamim how he crossed. He explained why he crossed. And he came down. Chachamim investigated him. He made some halachot in Hilchot Shechita today that we have from him. From this guy, Eldad. He says, I'm from the tribe of Dan. And he described exactly what they have over there, how they live over there, exactly what's going on over there. He said, we have to wait over there till the Kadifah will have mercy and send us back.
When he came back, he
talked
to the Yemenites to come.
Right, but it's not the Yemenites war.
It's not the same.
It's, again, it's Binyamin and Yehuda.
Oh, still?
Yeah.
They were in Yemen?
Yeah, Yemen. They left already in Tamshu Mamelech also. It's Binyamin and Yehuda,
they
not the rest of the tribes.
They
first
come. Right.
So again, Binyamin, the right for Binyamin to be saved because he's connected to Yehuda, because the Mizbeach in Beit HaMikdash, the border of between Yehuda and Benjamin go inside the altar, and just to tell you that this is really what it means, the guarantee that Yehuda gave for Benjamin, it means it's a valid, not from today, it's valid from the creation of Eretz Israel, and this is why Yehuda and Benjamin, they have the right on, if we say, the place of the altar as maybe the most important part in Beit HaMikdash. And this again, this is what it says in the Torah, this is just what Kadosh Baruch Hu expected before we say that Yehudah should guarantee Benjamin. And that's really the story. It's not that Benjamin guarantees Yehudah, it's Yehudah guarantees Benjamin. Benjamin is not such such a nice person. The nice person is Yehudah. And that's really what it means, says the Ari, that's really what Yaakov Avinu said, yes, I promised the kingdom to Yehudah, yes, it's true. But Yehuda gave a guarantee to Binyamin. It means that Binyamin and Yehuda is one entity. The first king was from Binyamin. His name is Shaul. So Shaul is also called Yehuda because since he's from Binyamin, and Binyamin is a partner with Yehuda, as you see from the altar, that the altar is on the two territories, Binyamin and Yehuda, and that Binyamin and Yehuda always go together, as of today, that we are, all of us, only from those two tribes, Binyamin and Yehuda. And says, therefore, says the Ari, very simple. It says, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yaakov said the bracha, the promise to Yehuda. Yes, it's true. But Yehuda is not Yehuda. Yehuda is in Binyamin. That constantly goes together. So there, that's really what the whole idea is. The whole idea is to tell us, and that Shaul doesn't like David so much. Of course, all the other excuses that we have, but the bottom line is that Binyamin doesn't like Yehuda. That's what it means. Binyamin does not like Yehuda as much as Yehuda likes Binyamin. And that's really what the Navi is going to tell us, that David is very friendly with Yonatan, that David HaMelech is not going to do any bad thing to Shaul, even though Shaul wants to kill him, and Shaul is crazy and he wants to get rid of him. David HaMelech will try to escape and will constantly just will try to avoid any clash with Shaul. And the reason is because he guarantees Shaul. Because there's no such thing, Binyamin. There's an answer called Binyamin and Yehuda. But again, this is in the eyes of Judah, not in the eyes of Binyamin. And this is really the whole story after David HaMelech became a king, and of course it goes together, him and Shaul, and makes very sense, because Shaul, Binyamin and Judah is the same entity, says that he wants to do a favor to someone from Yonatan's family. And not just because he's a friend of Yonatan. Because really, they are all from Binyamin, and they're from Binyamin, so it's perfect. Perfect. Story, very nice story. That says you're a very nice person, but I want to explain to you what happened. I said, David is running away now, and all of a sudden, in front of him is a person who says, hello, what's your name? He says, Tiva. He says, who are you? Oh, yeah, I know who you are. You, the slave of Mephibosheth, the son of Yonatan. He says, where's you guy? He says, my guy, my master in Yerushalayim is waiting for you to lose the election, and he's going to be the president. So he says, oh! Take everything away from him. You say, whatever he owns, you get it. Says the Gemara, huh? Very nice. He says, Lashon Hara, on your partner, on Binyamin. That's called a guarantee. He says, look, the guy came over to you and told you about your partner, and my partner is a thief. He says, okay, thief, okay, I give it to you. What do you mean? Says the Gemara, why did you accept it? I said, that's the whole test. Your test is to be very nice to Shaul. Your test is very nice to Yonatan. Your test is to be very nice to Ish-Boshet. Your test is to be very nice to Ish-Boshet. He says, this guy comes to tell you a story, and you swallowed it. I said, you swallow it. He says, what do you mean, swallow it? It means you're not a guarantee for Binyamin anymore. Here it is. Now the next guy's coming. He said, Mr. Shimi. He says, who are you? He says, my name is also Shimi. He said, who are you? What do you? I'm Binyamin too. Curses him, throws stones on him. He says, throws sand on him. He says, you're a killer. You killed, I killed Shaul. Yeah, you killed Shaul because he's the guarantee for Shaul. You are the guarantee for everything. Look what you did. He says, because of you, not because of me. Shaul is crazy. He says, no, Shaul is crazy. You don't understand. You and Shaul is one entity. You and Asad is one entity. You and Ish-Boshet is one entity. You and Ish-Boshet is one entity. He says, that guy came to the Shonara, he says, look, the guy's going to say, David sees him, he says, I get it now. He says, don't touch him. He says, that man is really a messenger from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Midrash, you're sure it's a messenger. Since you said the Lashon Hara on your best friend, on the one that you guarantee, he arrived right away. He arrived right away, he throws stones. He says, Avishai wants to kill him. The man says, don't kill him, it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because you guarantee this guy, how could you betray your best friend? And you say, well, you guarantee him. That's the guarantee that you gave him, that you and him are one entity. So what do you mean? You just, you know, the state told you that. You said, okay, you listen to him. I said, forget about your master. I take everything away from him. You didn't want to. So David, this is really what the Navi tells us.
Why do you want
it? Navi decided because he said, he told Tiba, you didn't want to. Forget about your master.